to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. Hey, if you're an American listening right now, we bombed Iraq today, one of their military facilities. This is today, Monday, August 5th. Early this morning, we bombed an Iraqi military facility with U.S. warplanes. Iraq, every now and then, will light up one of our planes with radar or fire on us. In fact, this year, Iraq has fired 70 times on American jets, 70, and on British, combined 70 times for coalition forces. And we usually shoot back and blow up whatever it is that fired at us. But the head of the UN and many others are saying that there are no grounds, there's no justification for America to attack Iraq. And how about a violation of the ceasefire of the Gulf War? How about that? When Saddam agreed that in order to get us to stop bombing the living daylights out of his government, that he would allow weapons inspectors in his country since he was working on nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, and he being a criminal, we didn't want to let him do that. So anyway, that seems like grounds. And also there's, well, the minor issue of trying to liberate tens of millions of Iraqis. That's something liberals don't seem to care all that much about the Iraqi people. Their hatred of America is so great that they just don't want to see us have a military victory. Just like being against liberating the people of Afghanistan, which was actually an enjoyable exercise. All right. So anyway, so we apparently blew up an Iraqi command and control facility today about 1 a.m. Eastern time. So while you and I slept, well, was I asleep? Let's see, it was 11 o'clock Mountain Time. Sunday night. I was getting there. Oh, and a shooting at a Christian school. A shooting at a Christian school today killed 6 people. Now, a couple people have suggested that I shouldn't do a story like this because it's a terrorist story. They said there's too much terrorist news. But this was in Pakistan. Islamic terrorists opened fire on a Christian school, and they killed 6 people. They intended to kill foreigners, and especially Christians or Americans. They ended up killing 6 Pakistanis. 2 of the guards, a cook, a passerby, all Pakistanis. A band of terrorists, 3 of them masked, there were 4 or 5 gunmen. They burst into the school's main facility, about 25 miles from Islamabad this morning, and they just were spraying bullets toward anything, anywhere, randomly, toward people. There were about 110 students that were in class when the Islamic terrorists jumped out of a car and stormed the building. And the first thing they did was they gunned down 2 security guards at the front gate, and they were Pakistanis, Muslims. Now, I wonder how that works in with the rules of jihad, according to the more extremist followers of Islam, the jihad variety, when it's okay to kill the infidel. Well, these guards were Muslims. Pakistani Muslims, they were killed. Now, I don't know if the cook was Muslim. Guess he was, but he was a Pakistani. What a shame. So, and then the terrorists tried to get into a room filled with foreign students and teachers. Of course, the students were petrified hearing what was going on. But they had shot a policeman. And I don't actually understand from the story if they hit him or not. But when they shot at him, he fell to the ground and they left him for dead, but he wasn't dead. So he said, I got up again and fired shots at them. And then the gunmen fled and they jumped the outer wall and escaped into the forest. So that's Islam in the world today. That's Islam in the world today. At least you don't have Buddhists and Hindus gunning after Americans. So we've got a bigger problem in the world right now with Islam than we have with other religions. Bigger problem with Islam. Islam is a false religion, of course. So, Hey, have you, this is pretty neat. Have you heard about the new robots that the Pentagon is funding? They're designed to be small. The smallest ones, you could have about 20 of them and they weigh about as much as a single penny. A large one that actually works has a wingspan of about a foot long and it weighs about a pound and it can fly, it can hover. And the goal of these is, and this is funded by the Pentagon's Advanced Research Agency, ARPA. And they are studying insects, and the goal is to try to make robots or miniature flying machines that can fly like robots fly. And so University of California, Berkeley researcher said, the good news is we know what the wings need to do. The bad news is we don't know how to do it. And think about these insects. Some of them will, you know, beat their wings hundreds of times a second. And in a 25th of a second, they can make an entire U-turn. It's pretty sophisticated. They're more maneuverable than a fighter jet by far. They don't use much energy. And then to cap it all off, they could land on the ceiling. It's pretty good technology. And God did it. He put it in bugs. And we're spending millions and, well, we can't quite do it. But we're trying. We're trying. But then if you get it so that it can fly, how do you get it so it can think? You know, a fly can think. Hey, Bob Benyard here. I'd like to give you the number that you can use to call us to order some of our Bible study materials. Our phone number is 1-888-8-NYART. That's the order line. I know it's similar to the call-in line. The call-in line is 1-800-8-NYART. But no need for confusion. We're smarter than flies. I mean, God gave bugs awesome capabilities, but he gave humans more so. So the call-in line is 1-800-8-NYART, and the order line is 1-888-836-9278. And if you call up, one of the best things you can do to help Bob and Yart Live reach more and more people is to order a monthly Bible study. For $24.95 a month, we mail out automatically, charged to your credit card. You could sign up. We mail out 4 Bible study tapes every Sunday night here in Denver at Denver Bible Church. I have the honor of presenting a Bible study. Of course, people locally, they could come on out and visit. We meet at 6 o'clock Sunday nights at Denver Bible Church near Wadsworth and Hamden. That's where we meet. You could call us for directions or look us up on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. But then we record the Bible studies, and you could sign up for them $24.95 a month that include shipping and handling. And as people sign up for the monthly Bible study, well, they enjoy it. If they don't like it, we'll give them that month's feedback. But they enjoy it, and we learn about the Bible together, and we help Bob and Yurt Live reach more people in more cities on more stations. Now, I'd also like to tell you about one of our best-selling videos named Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is evidence. It presents evidence for the resurrection. That's the single distinctive feature of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins and rose from the dead. And if someone will put their faith in Jesus Christ, believe that gospel message, as Paul wrote, that if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how we communicate to people what it is that they need to do to get on God's side with their life, get saved. So call us, order Mount Moriah, 1-888-8-NYARK. All right, welcome back to the show. Bob Enyart, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, we've got something interesting going on in England with one of their biggest outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease in a long time. They said the number of confirmed cases, it's now about 70, and one gentleman, an 88-year-old man, died on Friday from Legionnaires' disease. And the police are saying that they're investigating this. They're treating it like murder. Like murder, because apparently they've got a problem with Legionnaires' disease in Britain, and they've figured out how they need to test their water supplies and water treatment equipment on a regular basis for Legionnaires' disease, and a local facility, a government facility, it seems, did not, according to maintenance records, this one city council building left their water treatment unit unmaintained for a long time, and it should have been checked for Legionella, the Legionella bug, at least once a month, and it was leaking into an alleyway that about 1,000 people used each day. And so the police, and I find this really interesting, the police said that they might be able to charge the council with corporate manslaughter. That's rather interesting. If you go through the Bible, you know, the Bible is a criminal justice textbook. Christians often say, oh, I'm hoping for an open door so I can talk to so-and-so about God. Well, just look at a headline in the newspaper. Here, bug outbreak in England to be treated like murder. There's a headline. The Bible tells us that if you're negligent, you can be held responsible for a crime. And if someone dies as a result of your negligence, that's capital negligence, and you could be, if you're convicted, you should be executed for the crime if somebody dies because of your negligence. So now England, they don't have it all that together, but they're talking strong. The police there say that they could bring a charge of corporate manslaughter against the entire council. Now, you'd have to find out whose responsibility was this to protect people from this deadly disease and who was negligent. Of course, you'd have to find that out. All right. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, here in America, we're rebuilding for our war against Saddam. The attack on Iraq seems pretty certain. I'm looking forward to it. Man, I wonder if we have to put cable back in. Watch the war on CNN. Nah, we won't do that. Don't want to give him any money. Hey, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we're rebuilding our arsenal of smart weapons because we depleted a lot of it in the war in Afghanistan. And that that discourages me when we have some military operation and you find out that we've really depleted our arsenal reserves significantly. Just seems weird. Oh, yeah, and also, if you attack an oil-exporting country or a country that's part of OPEC, the petroleum-exporting countries, that it's wise to make sure your oil reserves are full. And so we're doing that. Here in this country, we have about a 80-day reserve, our national oil reserves, 700 million barrels. And so the Bush administration has given the orders to fill them up. So that's good. That's good. What happened last time when we attacked Iraq? Didn't oil prices drop? I think the price of gasoline dropped. Yeah, because it would go up because Saddam Hussein attacking Kuwait, and then he was going to attack Saudi Arabia, and the price of oil would go up. He's destabilizing the world's economy. He's killing innocent people to take land and steal their oil reserves. And so we can say we've got a couple grounds that justify intervening. We could say, well, for one, we don't want to pay more for oil that you stole, Saddam. And two, you're killing innocent people. You're trespassing on other countries' property. And you're attempting to steal their land and steal their oil. So we have grounds, just grounds, and we have our own personal interest. Because our standard of living would fall, and the world, lawlessness in the world, would become all that more acceptable. And so our kids grow up in an even more dangerous world. So we had grounds first time around for attacking Iraq. The great tragedy of that war was the short-sightedness of the ones waging it. And they did not topple Saddam Hussein's government. They misjudged. They thought they had dealt him such a blow that he would just give up. Well, they were wrong. So we had grounds to attack Iraq. And as a Christian, as a pastor of Denver Bible Church, I'm looking forward to the first bombs dropping on Iraq so that we can settle the last war, which is not over because there was a ceasefire that was negotiated based on Saddam Hussein permitting weapons inspectors in his country. The no-fly zones, were they part of the ceasefire? And Saddam Hussein fires on American planes and British and others. And that's an act of war. When a country fires on your airplane, that's an act of war. That's an act of aggression. Yeah, we're in Iraq, but we're in Iraq attempting to enforce the ceasefire that was negotiated, the reason we stopped when we did. And so, of course, we are justified to go in and then liberate Iraq, liberate the Iraqi people from the tyrant Saddam Hussein, who also supports terrorism. So there are plenty of reasons. All right. We've got some email here. By the way, our number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. One email, boy, a real diatribe against me. Somebody hates me, oh, and hates one of our listeners, too, in Indiana, Kirk Z. I'll have to find out what that's about. Try to get Kirk on the line. See if you can get Kirk. All right. And here's an email with a link to an Associated Press article. In Tallahassee, a judge has struck down Florida's statewide school voucher law. That's a good thing. Strike down a school voucher law. That's very good. Now, I know a lot of conservatives like school vouchers, but generally, conservatives are against socialism. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that generally conservatives are right-wingers, especially Christian right-wingers, should be against socialism? You don't tax your neighbor in order to have the money redistributed to you so you can benefit from some social program. You don't do that. So, yeah, we're against forcing my neighbor to pay for my kid's curriculum. We're against that here in the Enyard household and at Denver Bible Church. Our families wouldn't support, I'm speaking generally for all those families that I know of, we wouldn't support forcing our neighbors to pay for our kids' education. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Denver, David, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
I'm calling in regard to the possible invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, I just finished reading a book, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, by Dr. Dennis Lawrence Cuddy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that book.
No.
Well, main reason why we're in Afghanistan, according to this source, is the former Central Soviet Asiatic Republics.
Yeah.
They discovered some of the largest oil and natural gas deposits in the world.
Well, David, this isn't a secret. For a long time, there's been an oil pipeline planned to go through Afghanistan into Pakistan and India. And as a general rule, getting oil to the east through Afghanistan would be a very good thing that would help hundreds of millions of people.
Yes, but...
So the pipeline is a great idea.
Well, I think it is, but we're responsible for Hussein and for the Taliban being where they're at today, because the Taliban were supplied and armed and encouraged by us during the Soviet occupation.
Well, the Taliban didn't exist at that time. It was the Mujahideen.
Right, they were the Mujahideen, but they...
And the Soviets were, you know, being an expansionist government, they were trying to maintain the states that they had occupied and with always dreams of furthering their empire. We would generally, as a rule of a principle, we would support a nation that was fighting against the Soviets. And so here are these backward people in the hills of Afghanistan keeping off the Russian army. And so we help them. We arm them. I think in retrospect, we do it again. Hold on. We'll be right back. Bob Enyard here. And on this show, many of our commercials are live, like this one is live. And after this break, we'll go back to David in Denver talking about Afghanistan and the war. But right now, I want to talk to you about a manuscript that I've written, and what a pleasure it is to hear from so many people all over the country, and even some people from countries around the world, just thanking us for making this available. It's an overview of the whole Bible. Some people read the plot and said, you know, we need this available in Espanol, in Spanish, so that the Hispanic world could appreciate it and could read from it and learn the Bible from this Bible teaching. And so the plot is being translated into Spanish. Right now, it's 11 chapters long, and the translator's in chapter 8. We've got a woman from Romania who read the plot and has begun translating the plot into Romanian. She's up to chapter 2. We've got the plot being translated into Polish and Russian. Any other languages? I can't recall off the top of my head. It's pretty neat when people will read a manuscript about the Bible and then say, hey, I want my family back home in the old country to be able to read this. And they contact us and start working on a translation. Wow. What a thrill to see people who have the desire to spread the teaching of the Word of God around the world. Well, if you read English, you can get the whole manuscript right now. If you know somebody who reads Espanol, then you could order a copy for them in Spanish. The first 7 chapters, we've got that ready. It's called La Trama. To anglicize it, La Trama. And, hey, the first 7 chapters is more than enough to get excitement into a Hispanic Christian's life about, hey, getting an overview of the whole Bible. That's what the plot does. Of course, we want to understand the details of the Bible, but the problem is most Christians dive into the details before they get an overview, the big picture. And the big picture is the key to Bible details, to understanding the details. So call us and order the plot. It's $29.95. In the fall, it's going to go back up to its original price. So call us at 1-888-836-9278. All right, we're going to go to Batavia, New York in a moment, but first we're going back to Denver. So, David, you had just said that you think the pipeline in and of itself is a good idea.
Yes, in the sense that it's going to let the economy of that devastated country rebuild itself.
Right, Afghanistan, and especially the people that will be buying that oil in other countries.
Okay.
Okay, but then let's talk about
Iraq.
The policy. Well, first, we'll get to Iraq, but first the policy of supporting the enemies of the Soviet Union.
Well,
don't you think that's generally a good idea?
Well, sure, because okay. they were expansionists, yes, but economically and geopolitically were expansionists.
Well,
I'm not trying to.
We haven't done what the communist Soviet Union did. Was we didn't murder 20 million of our own people, invade other countries, destroy their governments, enforce evolutionary atheism on the people, outlaw free speech, freedom of movement, freedom of religion. We didn't do those things. We're a pretty evil country.
That's true. I agree. Communism is different than Nazism, except they're different ideologies.
Yeah, slightly different. They're kissing cousins. Socialism and communism are two economic systems that are kissing cousins.
Right. And regarding Iraq, I believe we should eliminate Hussein, but why should millions of Iraqi children pay the penalty for our embargoes against that country? There's got to be a better way to remove Hussein destroying the Iraqi people.
The better way is to kill him, but America is weak. America is morally weak.
But don't you think there's some geopolitical maneuvering behind that? Why we don't take that course of action, that there is something behind the scenes, for example, a shadow government that controls the economies of certain nations for some fixed agenda that they have?
Well, there's all kinds of powerful, wealthy people that have their own agendas. And generally, you know, the people who hate God, they march in lockstep because they all hate the same person. And so they have similar goals. And in whatever way America is a Christian nation, they despise us for that, and they try to undermine us for that and prop up other nations in the world in whatever way they're anti-Christian. That's been pretty common for a long time
right.
now, for centuries.
Right.
But so as far as Iraq, I think George Bush Sr. today looks foolish for not having
exactly.
taken out Saddam.
I agree, because he was the one that should have finished it right there.
Right, but if he was able to go back and do it over, maybe knowing what a fool he looks like, he would probably do it differently. But why did they leave him? You know, liberal politicians, they like to look magnanimous. Like George Bush in the White House, George Bush Sr., he defeats the Republican Guard. It's the mother of all retreats. And so he thinks that he looks big by having mercy on Saddam Hussein.
Right.
He thinks he looks good. And he looks good to fools.
Right. This is my personal belief, that they left Saddam Hussein as some sort of geopolitical pawn.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. If so, you know, Bush could have used him in his reelection defeat. You know, or
right.
just, it's, I don't think so. I mean, that's, you know, it's plausible in the absurdities of what happens in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that was the big thing. The UN said, gave the mandate to get the Iraqi army out of Kuwait. And when we did that, Bush wants to show the world what a liberal politician he is. And so he lets Saddam live. He really thought Saddam was just decimated.
Right.
And that he would be a weakened, insignificant leader who would be toppled in a matter of weeks.
Right, because he's wrong on that, because the former Soviet Union still supplies Iraq with its military weaponry.
Yeah. Hey, David, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks so much.
Appreciate your call. Good call.
Okay.
In Batavia, New York, Dan, speak your mind.
Good evening, Bob. How are you tonight?
Doing well, sir.
Good, good. One of these days I have to have coffee at Starbucks.
All right, that'll be fun.
Okay, I'll treat.
All right.
Couple of comments.
Yeah.
Hear about the pastor in New York City who was arrested for preaching about an abomination of men laying with men.
No. When did this happen?
Just recently. It was on Fountain of Truth. Dr. Wolf was up.
Dr. Wolf. He's got the greatest of stories. And, you know, I've been invited to be a guest on his show tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern.
I hope you take the invitation.
Oh, I am. I can't wait. It's an honor.
Good. I think more people will hear about you in Western New York.
Well, hey Dan,
yes.
So a pastor was preaching against homosexuality in New York City. He got arrested.
Yep.
Do we know why? Was it for committing a hate crime?
A hate crime, yes.
Really?
What happened to freedom of speech and freedom of religion?
Well, we've been predicting this, you know, for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
that it's coming, that preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will be a hate crime, and that there are two things that are mutually exclusive as far as in open society. And those two things are Christianity and homosexuality. They're mutually exclusive. Either one will prevail or the other. They cannot both.
Right.
So, you know, homosexuality, that... Conservative Christian leaders in politics, they are scared to death of homosexuals. They will not speak against homosexuals. Our, whatever conservative Christian leaders we have in politics, not only will they not speak against homosexuals, but they promote homosexuality in many, many ways, including by appointing homosexuals to important offices, hiring them, having them help with their campaigns, run their campaigns, sending high government officials to events that honor homosexuals. So that's the state of Christian conservative leadership in America.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, too, a problem might be because of the pulpit. They're not preaching very strongly against it. And because they aren't, now they're making a hate crime. But the pulpit, they should be preaching strongly.
Right.
Just strongly against that type of lifestyle.
I've got an email here. Let's see, Rosemary. And it's from a, somebody sent me a clip out of a forum. And, well, actually, it's off of the BEL list. And one person is explaining to Rosemary about Bob Enyart Live. And the description is, this was just emailed to me for this show. He claims to be a Christian. Notice I say claims. His main agenda in life seems to be to foster hatred and homophobia. And he's downright sick. Da-da-da-da-da. And so, and the writer says, I believe Christianity is based on love and Jesus, and we're not supposed to judge and all this. It's so, okay, this is from Daisy. So a Daisy wrote this to Rosemary.
I think they need to understand, as Christians, we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. And I don't know why it's hard for them to understand it.
Well, Christians say that all the time. I've got a quick... Let's address that, but first I have a question for you, Dan, about Dr. Wolf's show.
Mm-hmm.
How does, we're getting people asking, can they tune in to it from the web?
Yes, they can.
And the best way to do that is via IRN?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I listen to it on the radio.
All right.
We're just 40 miles away from them, but I'm sure if...
If you go to InfoRadioNet, let me go to my own website here.
Right.
kgov.com, and when you click on our affiliates, for those listening on radio, Bob Enyart Live airs on the internet at kgov, kgov.com, and the Information Radio Network is at inforadionet.com. So tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, anybody could go to inforadionet.com and tune in, listen live as I get to join Dr. Wolf on his show.
Right.
All right. Now, you know the hate the sin and love the sinner? That statement is not in the Bible.
Well, I think Christ set an example with the woman who committed adultery. He says, no one can condemn you, neither do I, go and sin no more.
Right. Now, he was very loving to her, and she was repentant. She was sorrowful. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't that nice to all the sinners. He was pretty harsh to the Pharisees, to the people, the businessmen on the Temple Mount.
Well, I think he was harsh for the... We had this discussion once before. He was harsh with the religious leaders because...
Oh, we did.
What other people at our bookstore, Christian bookstore, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because the religious leaders knew what was right and wrong.
Well, how about with the businessmen?
Well,
he was harsh with businessmen. He was harsh in the prophets and the apostles with a lot of people. Do you want to hang on or?
Sure.
All right, we'll be back after this. All right, when we get back to the show, I'm going to ask Dan about hate the sin, love the sinner, and how that applies, let's say, to a rapist, a child rapist who kills kids. And we'll talk about that. How does that apply? But we have an album that deals with that very topic, and it's called Nicer Than God. I'm not accusing Dan of this. I think Dan is a hardcore conservative Christian, from what I can tell. But this album, it's an audio album, 6 tapes. It's called Nicer Than God. And that phrase has characterized one of the pillars of theology, doctrine, Bible teaching that we have tried to communicate on Bob Enyart Live for over a decade. Nicer Than God. What should the Christian attitude be toward others? And it's really interesting to go through the Bible and see what you can glean on this idea of loving the wicked and love versus hate. Love versus hate. And is it possible to love and hate at the same time? Well, if you call us up, 1-888-8-NYART, and your order Nicer Than God, the album, six tapes. Our six tape audio albums, just so you have a reference point, they're normally priced at $29.95 for six tapes, about $5 a tape, plus the album and all that. So you might want to call in and order that, Nicer Than God. It's really enjoyable. It's one of our more entertaining Bible study seminars. So the phone number, 1-800. Well, that's the call-in line, right? Whenever I say 800, it's the call-in line. 1-800-8-N-Yart, call-in, 1-888-8-N-Yart, the order line. Not only Nicer Than God, but we have something that's really fun is Genesis Creation. Oh, boy, is Genesis Creation fun. I just had a police officer in Denver telling me that he and his dad were taking a trip and riding through the mountains, and they were listening to Genesis Creation and then the Tree album, those two albums. You know, God created in Genesis 1, and in chapter 3, we read about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and sin. And he just thanked me for making those available, and we'd like to share it with you too. All right, going back to New York with Dan. Hey, Dan, let me ask you this question. And low key here, I've been worked up the last couple weeks now and then, but I feel mellow tonight. But maybe too much Starbucks. Hey, Dan, you there, Dan?
Yes, I'm here, Bob.
Okay. The idea of hate the sin but love the sinner. A child molester who rapes a kid and then kills a young girl, if I had the opportunity to interact with him, if either I was the one had the opportunity to catch him, or if he was resisting arrest, to bring him down in some way, or to judge him if I was the judge, what I would do is I wouldn't feel love in my heart toward him. I wouldn't feel love if I had Adolf Hitler in my sights. I wouldn't feel love. When God judges the wicked on Judgment Day and he sends them to hell, I don't think he's going to separate the sin from the sinner.
Bob, well, you know, this situation, and I know it's a tight line to walk.
Right.
As Christians, we know man's sinful, depraved nature. It's wicked. And the person has to take responsibility for their actions and pay the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Or granted, you can have hatred. But if the guy isn't saved, like Jeffrey Dahmer, my understanding is, as wicked as he was, that in prison they said he came to the Lord. And if
yeah,
he was
I
sincere,
think Jeffrey, and could you speak up a bit?
Right, yes, Jeffrey Dahmer came to the Lord. If he was sincere,
yeah, I think
he,
you're right.
He's
I think
in heaven.
I think he did get saved.
Right.
And if he did, I'm just thrilled that he got saved
right.
And that he's with the Lord right now, even though he was so vile. Pornography got him into homosexuality, got him into raping young people and murdering them, and just so despicable.
It's like they have to pay the consequence for actions, but as Christians, we need to see that this person
could still be redeemed.
Can be redeemed, yes.
Right.
And now, whereas Christians, we can't just, like with Hitler, the reality is if Hitler accepted Christ, He goes on to heaven too, but obviously
he could have gone to heaven while many of his victims could have gone to hell.
And that's
totally true.
Yeah, that's true. So
right.
As Christians, we need to see these people. I think two ways: they have to be responsible for their actions,
right.
But they can be redeemed.
They can be redeemed, but now does, and I think our view of them should be similar to God's view of them.
Mm-hmm.
That God loves the world. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. But also, he hates the wicked.
Yes.
He does both. He loves the world, and he hates the wicked. And you can do both at the same time. When I was in jail with a child molester who was so full of himself and so egotistical and self-righteous and unrepentant, I felt like I would vomit. Just to look at his face.
Uh-huh.
And me and a few other Christians in jail, we would witness to him over a period of a few weeks. And after that time, he finally broke down, cried, admitted his sin, his filthy life, and he asked God to forgive him. So we truly despised him. I mean, I hated this guy because of what he did to kids, and he was unrepentant, a filthy homosexual child molester. But I also loved him enough that I was willing to spend the time with him to share with him his guilt and God's willingness to forgive him. Mm-hmm. So, but on Judgment Day, God's not going to hate the sin and love the sinner.
Oh, no.
You can't really separate. A rapist...
Bob, I'm not shooting up the Judgment Day. I'm talking about today's present day and age,
yeah.
And not the Great White Throne Judgment or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's where Christians, even though a person is so wicked, all right?
Yeah.
We have the message that, look, your life may be in rough shape now. You may have to go to prison, but you can have the freedom that we know in Jesus Christ. If we just hate the wicked, none of them ever get saved. We have a pretty rough world, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
There's a quick story, and I want to just mention one other thing. My wife has a business, and we had a gentleman who was gay working for us. And we told him, look, we do not condemn your lifestyle, but as Christians, we love you. And he was going to go to a gay rally with his boyfriend. And my wife and I prayed that he could not go. The door shut on him. He couldn't go. On the way back, his boyfriend was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
And we told him, look, if you would have gone and died in that accident, you would have gone to hell for eternity.
Yeah.
I got a Bible, started reading it. I don't know if he got saved, but I'll tell you what, it woke him up.
Hey, that's neat, Dan.
We just ignored the guy.
What a neat story. Oh, yeah, and we don't, you know, we don't ignore homosexuals. I've been able to pray with a number of homosexuals from around the country for them to become Christians.
So I wouldn't say we're homophobic. I'd say we're really showing homos what real love is.
Well,
you know, lead them to someone who really knows, someone who really loves them.
Yeah, and
we'll
condemn them because God condemns them.
Mm-hmm.
The law condemns them so that they'll see their guilt, so that they'll ask God to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we can love and hate at the same time. It's just that love, hate the sin, love the sinner is one of the Christian cliches that, you know, Christians will reject most of what's in the Bible, but they adamantly defend the cliches that are not in the Bible. Like all sins are equal, you can't judge, you have to forgive everyone. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We generalize. Right. Real quickly with vouchers. Personally, when I come with vouchers, is my tax money, school taxes, I don't want to see my tax money go to an institution that's promoting homosexuality.
I agree.
And so why should I have to pay school tax? I say, heck with the vouchers.
You shouldn't have to pay any school tax.
Any tax that goes indoctrinating children. Because, you know, if my tax is going there, I'm just as guilty as a teacher that's teaching homosexuality.
It's not the government's job to educate children.
I agree with you.
Government-funded education is socialism. Socialism violates thou shalt not steal. And the problem with short-sighted Christian leaders is they don't take seriously the principles in the Word of God. God says thou shalt not steal, and Christian leaders... conservatives, George W. Bush, so many, they promote vouchers so that the Christians will get in on the stealing.
Right, so we should judge these guys and condemn them.
All right.
I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, Dan.
I'll listen to you tomorrow. Have a good day, sir.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
I'm looking forward to that Starbucks visit. Okay, now, we've got people calling in, instant messaging. How could they listen to Dr. Wolf on Tuesday? At 3 p.m. Eastern. Is that right? 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Mountain Time? That's right, right? Right. Okay, well, you could go to inforadionet.com. That's the IRN website. Or you can go to Dr. Wolf's own website. His show is called Fountain of Truth. And you can find that at fountainoftruth.com. And you could listen to the program, and that'll be cool. All right. Now, let's see here. Our phone number, 1-800 8NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, it seems to me that Christians have gotten so soft on sin. And one of the reasons, well, the cliches that to Christians are far more authoritative than the Bible itself. The cliches are don't judge. That's Hillary's favorite verse. Jesus in Matthew 7 said don't judge like a hypocrite. First, stop committing the same sin and then judge your brother. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. In John 7:24, Jesus commanded us to judge with righteous judgment. It's a command from Jesus to judge. God appointed judges. The Apostle Paul says, I'm ashamed of you because you're not judging. So we got to judge. All right, now let's see here. Let's see. Oh, I want to go back to this email. And our number 1-800-8-NYARDS. Okay, so this Daisy is telling Rosemary all about this Bob Enyart character. And he says his main purpose in life is to foster hatred and homophobia. And, yeah, I know homophobia. We say right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. That's all. That's taking the terms that our enemies use to describe us. And that's okay to do that. It's a tactic. Like they were going to call Jesus a criminal. Right? They were going to crucify Jesus with the criminals so that he would be considered a transgressor, a criminal. So did Jesus say, oh, now how could I avoid that public persona that they're going to make me look like a criminal? He didn't do that. He did the opposite. He said to the apostles, he said, go out and buy some swords. And the apostles were packing. They said, well, Lord, we got two right here. And he said, that'll do. And he said that because it is written that he would be numbered with the criminals. And so if they went to the Mount of Olives, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they had some swords with them, it'd be easy for the soldiers to say, well, they're just a criminal gang. So if Jesus were here today, he'd say, pick up a Saturday night special. Let's go. Get a few guns. Buy them cheap. Let's make them think we're criminals. So, hey, right wing, that's like a curse word today. Right wing, religious fanatic. Notice, not religious, but religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice, right? Christians say we're pro-life, and the pro board say we're anti-choice. Okay, fine. Anti-choice. Homophobic? Fine. Homophobic. Actually, it's homo-nauseated. Because if I'm in a restaurant and I've just eaten a big lunch and two guys are going to, I'm going to lose my lunch. I'm going to throw up. Because I'm homo-puke it is. It's disgusting. Gross. Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I feel better now that I said it. I'm homophobic. I must have been born this way. When I came out of the closet and I told my family and friends that I was homophobic, I found out they accepted me anyway. Even some of them were homophobic. And I know that I was born this way. So you should accept me as I am. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.